If you like what you're hearing, why not try a StephCast subscription? Only $4.95 a month if you buy a year in advance. Go to StephanieMiller.com to find out how.
Bob Seska of course, my favorite podcast, The Bob and Chez Show, and my good friend joins us now. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Stephanie.
As you know, we always say there's no crying in baseball, no crying in radio, and yet...
Yeah, that's right. Well, I mean, here's the weird thing. This is, as someone who's spent her life in radio, you'll kind of understand this. I keep walking around the last 48 hours, and I keep saying to myself, it's the weirdest thing, popping into my head. I keep saying to myself, wait till I tell Chez about this on the show.
Yeah.
That that kind of illustrates how utterly surreal all of this is.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I told you yesterday on the phone, honey, and it really is true that, you know, and you're quoting, you know, Ben quotes you in here as saying, that, you know, you said he was headed somewhere really dark, Bob told me yesterday. I think this election really screwed him up and he hasn't been able to deal with it. And I think that goes for so many of us. And I think that, you know, as I said, you guys, you're the one of the things I listen to feel better about this and to laugh about it and to try to put it into perspective. And I told you, was listening. First of all, I just saw him and Taryn at SoulCycle like last week. And, you know, I would run into him occasionally there, as you know. And of course, we talk about the latest, you know, whole thing that Trump did.
Yeah. And that's the crazy thing is just Friday afternoon. I mean, not even 72 hours ago, not even whatever it is. We were doing a show and laughing and making fun of Russian pop songs about Vladimir Putin.
Yeah. And I told you.
A good time. And he seemed, for the first time in a while, he seemed happy. He was, I mean, I was surprised because usually I do a bit like playing Russian pop songs about Vladimir Putin and he kind of just groans. Oh, here goes Bob with one of his silly things. But he was laughing and he was into it and he was making Borat jokes and he was having a great time. And that was the last time I got to talk to him. And,
you know,
and the next night he was dead.
Yeah. I told you, I made a point. I went for a hike specifically to listen to your podcast Saturday before, I had a dinner party and I was just telling these guys that, you know, you made one of your typical jokes about Trump and Chez said, yeah, that's why I'm so depressed. And I thought he was just saying it like he says it, you know, like this is so depressing for all of us. And I just, you know, as you and I talked about yesterday, I mean, I got these texts in the middle of the night and I just, as I'm sure you did, and it's, as I said earlier, I mean, I really do feel like the guy next to me at the barricade just went down in the resistance.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine.
Right. I mean, that's just it. It's really difficult to kind of pull in some of the thoughts that have been swirling through my head about Chez throughout the weekend. It just you know, in terms of his depression, one of those things that I'm not necessarily saying that it's all of this is because of the election.
Yeah.
But certainly, I would say that the results of the election triggered this deep darkness in him. And he was, I mean, since the...
Right, for those of us that are vulnerable, I think that have struggled with either depression and or substance abuse, which is an awful lot of people, you're right, this election has made everything exponentially worse. And as you say, he was very open about it, you know, both on your show and his writing on my show about his struggles with that. But
Here's the thing, I mean, he's the kind of guy who doesn't suffer fools easily. And I think he was looking at... as a professional politics writer and podcaster, he was looking at another 4 to 8 years of having to deal with Donald Trump. And I think that was as president of the United States and knowing that he would have to cover this insanity. And I think that weighed on him more than most. You know, he was always one of these guys. I mean, anyone who listened to the show would know this, was that, you know, when I would occasionally play like an Alex Jones audio clip or something like that, Chez would get so annoyed that he would actually throw his headphones off and not even listen to what I was doing. He was just—it was such a great Chez moment. As I would get through the clip and I'd be laughing at the clip and making fun of whoever we were making fun of, and then he would get to the end. I don't know what any of that was. I took my headphones off. I can't. Why are we even talking about this guy? And so I think what he was seeing is he was seeing that bit played out over 8 years. And knowing that every day he would have to cover this idiocy going on. And I'm not saying it's because of that, But it certainly did trigger that dark side. And,
yeah.
And when Chez goes dark, Chez goes dark.
Yeah.
And you know, he wasn't fully there, but you could see that the way he was treating himself from the election on forward was not going anywhere good. I had no idea it would go this badly.
Yeah. I mean, Bob, you know, I think it, as horrible as this is, too, I think that, you know, the way you've spoken about it, and I'm sure we'll continue to, and the way Ben writes about it, I hope this is going to help a lot of people, because I thought, I'm sure you've read this piece by now, is worthy of Chez and how brutal and honest he was and brave. But I'm sure you saw it, but Ben Cohen wrote this morning, Chez Pazienza died smoking heroin in his car in Los Angeles this past weekend. A neighbor discovered him in his apartment parking lot and notified the police. He died between 8:30 and 11:30 a.m. and 12:30 p.m. on Saturday. He OD'd, the whole Chez's fiance Taryn told Bob Seska. And Chez would have wanted the world to know this, because that's exactly how he was. He never hid anything from anyone. His life was an open book. He used his writing as a form of therapy. He didn't give a what anybody thought of him, and wrote only because he needed to. And I use the word because I know he would have wanted to.
Yeah, yeah.
Chez wrote extensively.
That's another thing that's been running through my head is, you know, you want to remember Chez in a way that Chez would have wanted to be remembered. And I find myself going, how would Chez feel about this? Every time I post something, I don't want to get too gushy because I don't want Chez to come back and haunt me. Like, what the hell are you doing? Why are you acting like this? I remember on the show, he used to say, when I would say someone passed away, I would say Robin Williams passed away, and he said, are you saying passed away? Say he died.
Yeah.
He died.
Well,
and,
you know, Bob,
that kind of honesty, and he was so open about his private life in public, whether it was through his writing at the Daily Banter or at Deus Ex Malcontent or on the podcast.
But you know what? I think I really believe this in my soul, Bob, that this will save some people's lives. Chez, I'm going to cry again, but I think Chez's courage about that and honesty is going to help someone else, I think, be honest and get help. Because I think that you and I spoke about this yesterday, and I obviously got permission from Taryn before, because I was like, I don't, you know. But obviously, what do you say when someone dies suddenly at 47? I mean, I think people, you know, I said, look, we're going to get questions and calls, I'm sure. And so, but I think you're, you know, what Ben wrote and what you've been saying is beautiful, you know, because it really does honor him in that way, that he was so brutally honest and courageous in that way. And you said, as you said to me yesterday, you quoted in the piece as saying, I know he'd been drinking and he told me about taking painkillers, but I didn't know about the heroin. And neither apparently did Taryn. He smoked heroin again. She texted me. I had no idea.
Yeah. And on top of that, of course, Chez, and this is probably something I'm not going to get into details about. I mean, but Chez also had some health problems that he was dealing with too. And on top of mental health issues and his ongoing struggles with addiction and so forth. And it just snowballed. It just snowballed into this, which is easily the most surreal moment of my life. Seeing that message, I mean, knowing that we just went through 2016, where there was this ongoing syllabus of celebrities dying and people we know and love.
You guys were just talking Thursday.
Who I've done a show with for 6 years.
You were just talking Thursday, both of you, about Alan Combs' death.
Yeah, yeah. And we were joking about the, you know, Tom Brokaw pre-recording all of the death notices and having a great time around it. And it just, it didn't seem, I just didn't see it coming down Main Street. I just did not see this as,
you know,
something that would happen at least this soon. I mean, he always talked about dying young. I mean, that was one of his things. He thought that every moment past his brain surgery, because he had surgery, a pituitary tumor, and he's written about this in his book and in his articles. I'm not revealing anything that I shouldn't be. But, you know, ever since then, he felt like he's been on borrowed time.
Yeah.
He felt like that should have been the end for him.
You and I talked yesterday, and Ben writes about it here, too, that, you know, anyone that's been through this, you're still angry with them. And, you know, I think Taryn is so brave here. She said to Ben, please be transparent. Taryn told me when I consulted her about writing this, he did this and people should know. And so I think that anyone that's been through this, we're going to deal with some of that, with anger, with sadness, with you know, just thinking, damn it, Chez, we needed you more than ever right now.
Yeah,
you know,
and that's just it. I mean, especially now with what's going on in politics. Yeah, I feel like, you know, there is part of that. I mean, and I'll be completely honest, because, of course, as we keep saying, Chez would have wanted it this way. But you know, part of me feels like I've lost my comrade in this fight. I've lost the guy who's in the foxhole next to me, and he didn't need to go. It was one of those things where it was an unforced casualty in a way.
You know, the heartbreak always comes at the worst time in radio, but as I said to everybody at the top of the show, please support my friend Bob Seska more than ever in this fight right now, because I know you're going to continue the podcast, and we'll see you in your regular spot Wednesday, but love you, honey. Okay. Call me anytime, okay?
You
and we're gonna
it.
Let's help some
Thank
other
you
people.
So much.
All right, sweetheart. Love you.